Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
We welcome you to the Vines Church this morning, especially to those online at home. We're just praying that the Lord will bless everything today, the worship, the singing, the communion, and especially the Word. The Bible says that the Word of God never returns void. That means it always means something to somebody. So why don't we stand and give praise to God as we wait in expectation. Please stand, everybody. Some open prayer, just praising God. Just sing it out if you can, if you want to. Open prayer, praising God.
We thank you that you love us so much. Thank you for your grace.
Lord, thank you for blessing us every day.
Thank you for the great God that you are, Lord. Amen. Please be seated, everybody. As I said before, we're just praying that God's blessing will be upon this church today. And at this particular spot, Adrian was going to actually teach us one of his original worship songs. But unfortunately, Adrian, Kirsten and Samuel have all got a cold and sitting home. So may God bring healing upon you guys, Spencer family. I guess they're watching right now, I believe. I find Adrian displays a real natural ability to write lyrics, but more importantly, or especially, music as well. It's a gift, I believe, and praise God for that. I remember seeing him doing some air drumming once while we were singing up here, and his timing was just spot on, so I'm pretty sure that led to him drumming regularly here in worship, as well as Rob, of course. I could name many folk that bless us with their gifting, but of course, once we start, then we're bound to miss out somebody, so I won't begin, won't even try. So with an overall appreciation, I thank you all for using your gifting in many different ways to bless this church. And praise God, the author of those gifts as well. So I'm going to ask that we sing a great song, 10,000 Reasons, because there's just so many reasons to bless God for our whole life, really. Perhaps I'll ask, as we go halfway through this song, I'll ask that we stand.
Oh, Be seated. Let's. For those online, we're going to be doing communion today, so you've still got time to get your elements organized if you hurry. So our time of prayer today, I'm going to invite you to pause with me, and I'll ask Dennis to drop my level a little bit. I sound like I'm booming. So again, part of our journey today is thinking of the world in which we live and giving thanks for that. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for life. We thank you for the world in which we live, for the sun, the moon, and the stars in the sky. Maybe you can picture one of those starry nights recently. We think of the sunrise and the sunset, for night and day. Lord, we give you thanks for the mountains and the valleys, for the grassland, for the mist, for the snow, for the rain. Again, was there a time in which you were caught in the rain, or the sun you saw over a mountain? Lord, as we think of the winds and the trees, we continue to offer our thanks and praise to you. We think of the oceans full of its life, for the fish, the dolphins, the penguins, the whales, the shrimp, all those creatures that live. Lord, we think of the rabbits, the cattle, the dogs, the cats, the birds that fill our world. Lord, we give you thanks. Again, maybe there's a particular animal or some sort of thing that you really love and want to give thanks to God for. What would that be? Lord, we give you thanks for women and men of whatever race who inhabit this land, who share her wealth and her seas and her lands. And we give you praise and thanks. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the people said,
Amen.
Amen. So it's good to be here today, and one of the things we're doing is, as you know, Holy Communion. So today we're going to be doing something a little bit different. Just before the children's talk, I'll remind you that we're going to have wafers today. So if you're expecting either a lump of bread or something else, we're going to do wafer, which is a really practical way of doing communion. Okay, so for the children here today, I thought I'd come and share with you a life story. So you guys want to come down up front? I hope you can still see me up the back there. I was going to do Dave's dodgy drawings, but the challenge we have today is actually quite tricky, because the scripture reading, and I should really get Bev to come up and do the scripture reading first. Where are you? Laurie? Thank you, Laurie. You know, it's really, I've got a confession to make. I should be wearing glasses, but I'm resisting. That's why I've missed about four different lines. I've jumped. Thanks, Larry. We'll sit down here.
Jesus' ministry was filled with many dramatic events. One of those dramatic events was him cleansing the temple. So listen to the word of God as it is written in John chapter 2. Verses 13 to 22. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So I'd invite you to share a greeting with each other, a COVID-appropriate greeting. So why don't you stand up and give each other an elbow with love. Hey, welcome here, young man. Give me an elbow. Okay, bring it back in. All right, well, we'll now have the time for the children's talk. Take two. Dave, come down here again, guys. It's like deja vu. That was a really hard reading today, and I was thinking, like Jesus in the temple getting angry. And I was thinking, how am I going to draw that? So I thought what I'd do is tell a life story. Now, if you're ever on a road trip somewhere, what you can do is ask your parents and say, "Tell me a life story." And they might tell you about something from their younger days. Or they might recount the time when that snake started crawling across the windscreen. That was pretty scary. So, Jesus got angry. So why did Jesus get angry? Now, it reminds me, when I was younger, I used to live in Whyalla. So grade 5, 6, and 7, I did in Whyalla. And one of the things that we did a lot at school was play soccer. And we played soccer at recess, lunch, and after school. And there was a couple of guys particularly who always were captains. And whenever they were captains, they would pick each other. So Richard and Fraser. Richard, he was the captain, so he'd pick Fraser first. When Fraser was the captain, he'd pick Richard first. Those guys were inseparable. They weren't brothers, they were just friends. They enjoyed playing soccer to each other. They'd go home and, you know, before TV and, you know, Xbox and everything, they'd play soccer at home. And it was just great. And then I remember one lunchtime, we're all playing soccer and then something happened. And there was a big argument. And a big group of boys were all gathered around. And I looked in and Richard and Fraser were arguing. And they started fighting. And I was like, "Oh, what's going on here?" And then suddenly, Fraser won. And everybody cheered. And they all gathered around Fraser. And then I looked across and there's Richard sitting on the ground. And he started crying. And then everybody went, "Woo, look at him, he's crying. Woo, he lost. Woo-hoo." And so I went and stood next to Richard and I said, "People, kids, fellas." I don't know what I said. I just said, "He's not crying because he lost the fight. He's crying because he lost a friend." Now, I'm not sure why I sort of saw that as the reason, but it was obvious to me that Richard and Fraser had been so close and the fight just broke them apart. And when I was thinking about this story about Jesus getting angry, it wasn't because there was cows and sheep in the temple, although that was part of it. But a lot of the poor people weren't allowed to get to God. They were distant. They were being separated by all this wealth and all this. So there's a sense in which Jesus was really compassionate for the poor people. And I'd like to think that the thing that I saw in Richard was a sense of compassion. I saw Richard's real love for his friend. And I think as Christians, part of what we're trying to do is have some compassion and love for others, isn't it? Now, what you do with that is going to be very interesting. And it might be that sometime you might be able to share some concern for someone when everybody else is sort of going, "Uh-huh, you lost." Interesting. Let me share a prayer with you and then we'll have communion. Lord Jesus, we know that you had a great heart for the lost, for those who got left out, for those who didn't have friends. Lord Jesus, we ask that somehow, regardless of our age, we might reach out and be a friend to those who maybe have lost one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys. Now, we're going to have communion, and then afterwards we'll go to Sunday school, so you can hang around for that. Communion, again, is one of those significant times when we try and prepare ourselves. Now, I'm not sure what sort of week you've had, whether you've had a fantastic week or a week that you just think, man, I'm glad it's Sunday and we can start afresh. So I invite you to pause and think of your week, because part of the invitation we have is to leave the bad stuff behind and start again, this reset Sunday, to start with a blank page, to let the stuff go that we need to go so we can breathe in the life we need to start afresh this week. So I'll give you a moment just to pause. So as we journey together in communion, let's share these words. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift your thanks up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Here and now God waits.
To break into our experiences. To change our minds. To change our lives. To change our ways.
To make us see the world
and the whole of life in a new way.
To learn to put on the love of God in our lives, the lives of others, and within the world.
As we talk about the world, and again, there's lots of stuff happening in the world, isn't there? We just open the newspaper and we're confronted with it, or we turn on the TV, whatever. So these areas we're going to pray for, and I'll give you some space to maybe be conscious of maybe a country or a place that you're really concerned for. So let's gather our prayers, because God hears all our prayers, whether they're from the front, whether they're silently thought. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we gather in communion and we think of this love in which you have shared in the world, we become conscious that the world really is struggling in many different ways. While in Australia we are traveling beautifully well, many other places are not. And in this time we offer our prayers for the world in which we live. Again, I invite you to think of a country, a place, a town, whatever it might be. Lord Jesus, as we think of this world, we also come closer to home and think of our families. And for many of us, they might have been spread throughout Australia or even the world, and it might have been very hard to connect in. Or maybe there's some dramas happening in our families, whatever it is, Lord. We pause and we offer a prayer for those in our lives. Again, I invite you to picture them in your mind. Surround them with love. Or invite God to. Lord Jesus, finally we think of ourselves, and we know that we take ourselves with us wherever we go. And sometimes, if we're honest, we need to keep working on some things. Again, I invite you to maybe ask God to fill you with his love again, to help you have a new start. Let's join together in the prayer Jesus taught his disciples.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
So one of the reasons we gather and for communion is that for thousands of years since the early church, Christians have gathered to remember the presence of Christ in their lives through some simple earthly symbols. The bread, which is a part of our everyday existence, and the grape juice, again, it's just a natural part of how we do life. that fluid, the liquid, the wine, reflect Jesus' intimate connection with us through the everyday things. And we remember that Paul passed on to the early disciples what had been passed on to him. And Paul was one of the early leaders of the church, and so he must have got that from the disciples himself, from that Last Supper. And so he said that what he was wanting to do is remind us that on the night that Christ was betrayed, he'd been gathered with his disciples, and when he was there, he took the bread and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And the same way, after supper, he took the cup with its rich red wine and earthy texture and said, "This is my blood which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me until I return." And so that's what we're doing here today. We're gathering online and in the flesh here to celebrate and remember this love of God that knows no barrier, no distance, no limitations. So as you prepare yourself, I invite you to again just pause, and maybe there's a particular prayer on your heart that you would like answered, or a particular aspect of your life shifted. Bring whatever it is to this experience today. When we had no name and no faith and no future, you called us your children. When we lost our way or turned away, you did not abandon us. When we came back to you, your arms open wide and welcome. And look, you prepare a table for us, offering not just bread, not just wine, but your very self, so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, blessed, and made new again. You are worth all our pain and all our praise. And so we celebrate that today. Today we are going to have communion. I'll invite you to come out the front. So we'll have the service down here. And if you want to, doesn't really matter, but if we try and this group come around this way and this group come around that way, and we'll try and go back to your seats this way, we'll have a bit of a blending. Again, today we're having the wafer, so you'll receive a wafer in your hand and the grape juice, and I invite you to go and sit down and we'll share that together. So the stewards who are coming, elders who are serving today, would you like to come forward, please?
God, creator of the work is done, no more to do. The work is done, no more to do.
So let us regather ourselves and remember that this is the body of Christ broken for us. And as we share this together, it not only connects us with Jesus, but with each other. The body of Christ broken for us. Let's eat and remember. The blood of Christ shed for us. Let's drink and remember. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your life and love is within us, and we ask that you would continue to stir us to growth and new life. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to do, the children are going to exit. I'm going to do some notices. And next time we do communion with wafers, we'll have a different plan. Okay? Seemed like such a good idea. You know those good ideas? The good idea fairy was there. The application was not. My apology. So, all right. When you go out of this place, on the way, there is a table with some of these notices. So the 27th is the Ranelagh Markets. So this year we've been getting into the Strawberry Fair really early and incrementally. So we've already had ones. This is our second one for the year, so that's great. Or is it our first one for the year? First one. I can't count. That's all right. So there are some flyers you can grab in little bundles of 10 that you can share around your little neighborhood area. I guess there's, being 10, there's only going to be a few houses. But the idea is just to invite your local friends and that sort of stuff. So that's good. The other notice I had to have and wanted to share was... the AGM minutes are out there, and last week we did a, some of you would have picked up last week's blue folder and was missing a couple of reports. So if you want to just make sure you've got all the reports, there's a little yellow tag that says to be added to last week's. That's correct? Nice. All right. And if you just like collecting paper, look, just go out and grab an extra couple anyway. I'm sure it'll be good. Remember, notices, check your grapevine. Now, next week and the following week, I'm doing my 3 days at PAC, so I'll still be around in the evenings. We're still running Lenten studies and that sort of stuff. And for those who are doing Lenten studies, I hope you're enjoying it, and it's exercising and growing your faith. Now, the other exciting thing I wanted to do today, and I am following my notes, good boy David, is we've got some newcomers we wanted to welcome. Now, I guess every year there's lots of ebbs and flows, and COVID year was a really strange year last year, and we had some people who joined us through the year. And it's very hard to welcome people over Zoom morning teas. And so today I wanted to take the opportunity to invite these people to either stand or come forward depending on how comfortable they felt. So Trevor Haley has come to join us. Trevor, I'll get you to hold your applause until the end. Now, Ian and Karen, Kitto, thank you. You guys, you want to come out the front, you bold people? Karen is not willing, but I understand that. And Heather Wilson, as she's a courageous woman, she said, look, David, just say a few words for me, will you? And so turn around, Heather's up the back there. So Heather's standing up. And she wanted to say how much she's enjoying my sermons and just how they were the most amazing thing. Was that right? No, okay. Look, so it's great to have you four people amongst us. And I always think the wonderful thing about new people is they just add talent, wonderful skills. And so it's just a blessing to have new people amongst us because it changes who we are. And that's the magnificent part of it. We're not expecting you to conform to us. We're hoping you change us to be more like you. I've even started wearing flower shirts. So Karen's having an influence already. But look, do you guys want to say a few words? I think Mike is on or off. Magic Mike is on. There you go.
So a few words.
A few words. Here. Shall I give it to Karen?
Thank you. I think we first came here about 25 years ago when our son got married.
Oh, nice. So, well, that was very disciplined. Thank you. So, what is it you enjoy about being here now? Obviously, the memory 25 years ago was significant, but there's something that's brought you here today.
Yeah, it was the church that our son and daughter, new daughter-in-law stayed away from, although they got married here.
Yes.
If that makes sense, I'm sure it does to many of us. It's good to be face to face, not just looking down the camera, or on Zoom, and to get names to people. I'm really appreciating that over the last 15 months.
Yeah, thank you. And I think we'll pass it along the trip. We'll be hearing from Ian a bit later. Palm Sunday, I've got. Ian is going to actually be sharing the word. Ian is a retired Rev. Is that what we call you? I mean, what do we call you? But I actually did some training with Ian many years ago at Park and Wesley, and I started when he was leaving. So it's been a number of years. So, Trev, did you want to say something?
Yeah.
Oh, you already mic'd.
I suppose I was drawn to the light that emits from this place. I remember when this building was built, and I remember the excitement about a coexistence between a retirement complex and a church. Sin, I was so excited when that happened. And I suppose it's quite encouraging to see ties from the past. We've got people from Hackham West here. We've got people from maybe Port Nullanga, people from Christie's Beach, people from Trinity Bay, and also people from Hallett Cove. So it's quite nice to see a combination of a number of people all in the same place. It's such a privilege for me to be able to play the piano that my mum played when she was here. And so I suppose my weeks are very much God has to rock up, there's no choice, and to be able to come to a place which actually enables and empowers that to actually happen is incredibly good indeed. There is light transmitting from this place, and that's what's drawn me here.
Yeah, thanks, Trevor. And Heather asked me to say, look, you know, she's really enjoyed the friendliness and the warmth of this place. So isn't that lovely to be able to experience that even despite COVID? For some people there, it's just great that you've connected in through this really hard time. Let me share a prayer with you, for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the way in which you call us to faith, for gathering us into the church, the body of Christ. We thank you particularly for Trevor, Karen and Ian and Heather, who have joined us during this time of COVID, a really hard time. We pray that your Spirit would continue to fill them and shape their love and gifts in and amongst us as they continue to flavor who we are and how we do business in the world in which we live. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
And look, I thought I'd ask you a really quick, cheeky question. Will you, the people of the Vine, support them as they settle in? If so, say we will.
We will.
There you go. All right. Thank you. And next week, we're welcoming another couple. They weren't able to be here this week. So, Bill, I think it's over to you. Yeah, okay. We're just conferring here. We're just praying. And I think the Lord has said, on with the message. All right. So one of the things I like about Bill is I really like working with Bill because we actually are able to, I think we're both fairly flexible individuals and we're happy to do things on the fly. So we're going to now spend some time reflecting on our scripture and the temple and the Jesus getting angry in the temple. You know, it's a powerful reading. And I've done a lot of different thinking about it. And this week we're only going to do some work in the Lenten studies as well, reflecting on this scripture. So pause with me as we pray. Lord Jesus, thanks for your love. Seems to be a bit of a theme today, but we recognize that as we lead up to Easter, love is a fundamental part of your expression. So we ask that you would add some insight to our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Jesus really had a point to make. Now, I'm not sure when was the last time you read a book or watched a movie and thought, oh, that's a strange word or a line, or why did they mention that character there? Or, I mean, sometimes you watch a movie and think, where are they going with this? And at the end of the movie, you've still got no idea. But most movies that have a plot, or books that have a plot, there's a reason they introduce characters. There's a reason they introduced a name or something, isn't there? And sometimes, I'm not sure about you, but sometimes I'm always looking for that little quirky thing that pops up and you think, well, why did they put that there? And it's a bit like this experience or story with Jesus in the temple. And all four Gospels, narratives about Jesus' life, have recorded this event. So the question is, well, if they could have chosen to do anything, why did they choose to include this event? What was so significant about Jesus getting angry in the temple? Now, each one of the Gospels was written to a different audience. So that's interesting. So we have Mark writing to the Gentile Christians in Rome, Matthew to the Jewish community, Luke was just writing to one person, Theophilus, and John was writing the Jews, Gentiles, and Samaritans. And again, it's timing. So we think Mark probably wrote around 60s, and then Matthew, Luke, and John were later. So the event around the temple, these writers were very clear about. So the Jewish temple, and here we have a picture. I found a lot, I had to look at a lot of different pictures, but the cartoon was probably the most graphic one. I really liked that. You could sort of see even some of the dental work down the bottom left, right-hand corner. But it was, a really provocative, profound, inflammatory thing that Jesus did. Maybe you would even say violent, as he kicked everybody out. Now, the interesting thing about the temple, the Jewish temple, it was destroyed twice. So the first time was by the Babylonians in 586 BC. So Jewish temple got crumped, and they over time rebuilt it. And then the Romans destroyed the temple in 70 AD. Now it's interesting that in the scripture, the Jews' response to Jesus when he said he was going to destroy the temple was, you know, they'd been building the temple for 46 years. And that was true. They'd been building it for 46 years, only for 30 years later for the Romans to destroy it again. So it was just like, wow. Now, I guess we sort of wonder, well, why did Jesus get so angry? Well, like all human beings, you know, when there's money involved, people are compromised or often compromised. So what often happened was because they were wanting to sacrifice unblemished animals, so you couldn't bring any old animal to the temple. And so there became a bit of a business about, well, what animals were acceptable. And so you could see that, you know, someone had a relative who had animals who then had a bit of a monopoly, and then, you know, so if you wanted to buy an animal for sacrifice, you actually had to use the proper temple coins. You couldn't use Roman coins, so you had to buy temple coins. And so it just became a whole rip-off. People made money. The poor got poorer and the rich got richer. And often the people who profited most were the priests. So Jesus was really unhappy with those who were running the temple. And he really talked about, you know, he said, the scripture said, in the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep and doves, and the money changers seated at the tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their table. Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace. Now, in many, I guess the other part of that is, you could say there was a real sense of injustice because the poor were getting ripped off. As they're trying to worship God, they're actually getting ripped off. There was a real sense of injustice about the whole thing. And when we look back through history, there have been many times in which Christians have felt a sense of injustice about what was going on. That somehow they was being disadvantaged. Now, in our Lenten studies, you'll have the chance to sort of explore maybe some of those injustices. Here are some of them that I picked out randomly. So Martin Luther was very angry with the Catholic Church because they were basically saying, the more you pay for those who have died, the more likely they are to get into heaven. Ah, very interesting system. Luther was angry about that. Then we have the slavery in the US, UK and the world. They think that over 200 years, there was 20 million Africans sold into slavery. And 20% of them didn't make it across the oceans. There was a real sense of injustice. And then you have the South American church, and where liberation theology emerged as they endeavored to try and help the poor understand they were poor, and that wasn't acceptable. And I guess you could even talk about the women's emancipation, you know, their vote, in which South Australia took a leading leadership role in. And we can't, as Australians, go beyond our own Australian Aboriginals. And I guess the profound sorry that Kevin Rudd provided, that was a beautiful moment. And we hope that that's repaired some of that stuff, that history, that connection. Jesus said, destroy the temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Jesus was speaking about his body. And at the time, no one understood that. The temple made of stone was destroyed. Now, I guess it's really hard for us to understand the significance of that. In the 1960s, there was a real strong movement about God is dead. And this was one of the leading papers in 1966, Times Magazine. And they talked about, is God dead? I can remember Dad talking about, when he was a Baptist minister, how confronting that was for all his colleagues. And they were really stirred by this idea of, if God's alive, how do we see God? And there was a great movement to get involved in social work, for justice, to get involved with people in need. And that became a part of Dad's calling. And as we're talking about this, this is based on Nitschke's quote about God being dead. And there was a great slide I came across as well. God is dead, wrote Nitschke in 1883. Nitschke is dead, God, 1900. So, someone has a sense of humour. You know, like... But for the people of Israel, the temple was where God lived. God lived in the temple. And so when the Romans destroyed the temple and pulled it apart and only left this wall, that's the only retaining wall of the temple left. That's the Western Wall. We know it as the Wailing Wall. But that's the only wall left of the temple. And so for the people of Israel, when the temple was destroyed, it was like God was dead. And so the Christians knew this too, and they were trying to reflect upon what was the significance of Jesus' life and death. And Easter is a time when we remember through death life came. And so the question of where is God was being explored with that. Now, I'm not sure how you would feel if you rocked up one day and someone had ripped this building down. It'd be very confronting. I know how much people were stirred by not being able to worship at Christmas and other times during last year. Imagine if this building was demolished, what that would feel like. So there was a lot of emotion around where is God. And you can imagine the disciples, and part of why Peter was so concerned about Jesus dying was because Jesus was like God. Jesus was the Messiah. How could they live without Jesus? When Jesus was crucified, that was like insane. It was like the temple being destroyed and pulled down. Where is God? Jesus said, I'm doing a new thing. So part of what Paul talks about is about the temple, our bodies being the temple of God. And that was a massive shift in Christian thinking. Now, Paul was alive before the temple got pulled down. So even earlier than that destruction of the temple, there was a question about where is God, where is Jesus in our lives? And Jesus is with us. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "You realize, don't you, that you are the temple of God and God himself is present in you. No one will get by with vandalizing God's temple. You can be sure of that. God's temple is sacred. And you, remember, are the temple." You are the temple. So what does that mean? Do you feel like a temple? What does a temple look like? My dad was a bit cheeky and he wrote this. I found a sermon he preached in 2000 to you. I'm not sure if you remember it or not, but these are some of his words. "Well, if the body in this place where God chooses to reside, then I ought to have a lot of respect for it." So if our body is the temple of God, we should have a lot of respect for it. "I ought to respect it, honor it, and look after it. Now, for those who feel their temple is a little worse for wear and has become a little bit saggy-baggy, take heart. Paul also likens it to a tent." So, Dad's humor beyond the grave. There you go. It's not all my fault. It would be a strange thing, wouldn't it, for his disciples to try and get their brain around. But the invitation we're having is to understand that Christ lives within us. That the very essence of God is not something lost in the universe or a watchmaker sitting and watching all the disaster happen, but through the Holy Spirit, God dwells within us. And what does that look like? Before Dad died, he put a lot of work into Temple Works, which was a program that was really trying to combine physiotherapy, mental health, diet, because one of the things he became convinced of as he was dying was that our bodies were still sacred. And how is it we can look after our bodies and really make the most of what it is God has given to us? And it's a really a a bold invitation, I think. And for most of us, we probably don't often look in the mirror and think, I'm the temple of God, or, you know, God dwells within me. But there's that sense in which there's that powerful connection, that the Spirit of God lives within us. So what does that mean for us today? If you had to ask me how I would have described this sermon today, I would have given you two answers. Part of it, God's passion through Jesus is for the underdog, for those who are experiencing justice. And there's a real heart and passion, as we saw in Jesus' response in the temple. But the other part of that is, even though the temple was destroyed and people wondered, where is God? God is dead. Part of Jesus, what he was talking about is, through me you know God. In fact, God dwells within you. Through your unique characteristics, through your unique personality, for the way you do business, for your health, God is still in you. God wants to work through us and in us as we are, for who we are. So we don't have to be someone else. We just have to be ourselves. Amen. Now, I wanted to show you this slide. I did promise it you last week. This is spiritual growth movements. So spiritual growth occurs in three movements across the spiritual continuum. Sounds very impressive, doesn't it? Obviously, they know what they're talking about when they use the word continuum. It sounds very professional. But we go here from exploring Christ in the front here, which is really about, I believe in God, but I'm not sure about Christ. And the first movement takes us from there to growing in Christ, where I believe in Jesus and I'm working on what that means. And then the second movement is where we go from this stage to close to Christ. I feel really close to Christ and depend on him daily for guidance. And then the final section is Christ-centered. My relationship with Jesus is the most important relationship in my life. It guides me in everything I do. Now, like I said last week, this is based on 200 churches and 80,000 people's responses. And the reason I'm showing you this slide is because I want to do a bit more work on this over the next couple of months. Just to look at where we are in this slide. Where would you put yourself? Are we in a particular movement phase? Do we want to be somewhere different? So that's really, a tantalizing tidbit for the future. And I said I'd bring it from last week, and if you were waiting for it to see it, there it is. So prove alive. So, God with us, God within us. Well, part of your mind, body, and spirit and soul needs work. Faith connects us to God and calls us to be invested in the world for justice. So again, there's two aspects of today's reflection that you might want to dwell on this week. I'm going to ask the band to come back up as they lead us in our final song. And then I will say a prayer. Thanks, guys.
I'm sure we need to stand when we sing this song, because you will know it very well. And even if you feel brave, you can march to it as we sing. The song is Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory, or the Battle Hymn, or Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. Please stand, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
As you go from this place, don't forget to pick up your budget, which is outlined for this year. But know that the love of Christ goes with you, regardless how you're feeling, regardless what has happened during this week. Go in peace to serve the Lord. Amen.